I don't know, I just woke up from a little nap. It's a little dark, but you guys silly? I'm still gonna send it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them, talk about them on the radio, do all I can with them. Joining me in studio, a former member of the PLU women's basketball team. Her name is Lacey Nicholson. Lacey, how are you?
I'm doing well. I finished my senior project over the weekend, my senior capstone.
Yay!
Congratulations.
Which is the biggest relief and weight off my shoulders. So I feel good. And it's my birthday week, so I'm kind of on a high right now. I'm feeling good.
So do you like get to celebrate it all week? Is that just kind of how it works?
All month.
No, I let myself have ice cream, and last night I had 4 pieces of pizza because I was like, it's my birthday week, so I can do what I want.
I feel it.
That is what is up. Also, joining us in studio, he is the only active athlete on the roster right now. He is a tight end for the football team. His name is DJ Winter. DJ, how are you this week?
I'm good. I've had a lot of bad days since the Mariners have lost, but today, yesterday they won, so I'm doing better.
That is good. Finally rounding out our starting 3.5, he is a former member of the PLU men's basketball team. He's been dealing with some housing issues this week. Drew Artisoni, how are you?
I am exhausted. I've been dealing with housing issues all week, as Christian said. I came home to about 1/2 inch of water in my apartment. After spring break, been nursing a water leak all week, and yesterday I had water shooting out of my floor. Yeah. And I have last night had to move apartments completely inside of South, so I had to clean out my whole apartment and move into another one. So I'm tired. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of hearing about the NBA MVP race. I'm tired of a lot of things.
That is,
except for you guys. I love you guys. And this was a good stress relief from my Monday night. This is a good Tuesday morning startup.
Well, that is fantastic. We want to remind those of you who are listening right now that most of the stories you can hear on this radio show, as well as go back and listen to old radio shows, you can do that at mastmedia.plu.edu. Check us out there. If you don't want to listen to the whole show, if you're more into just shorter clips of the show, check out YouTube. It's Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. Subscribe to us, help us out there. We'd appreciate it. And if you want to call into the show and give your thoughts, or if you want to hear our thoughts on a given topic, you can do that by dialing 253-535-7332. Once again, do it by dialing 253-535-7332. So DJ, you talked about how rough your week was because of the Mariners, and it's all their fault. Let's talk about it. They opened their season on the road and they struggled.
Yes.
They went 1-6 in the first 7 games. They were shut out on opening night. They lost in walk-off fashion a couple times that week. They had a 3-game weekend series with the Angels. They continued to struggle. Sunday was one of the more embarrassing losses I've seen for this team. And it's hopefully the most embarrassing loss of the season, because I don't want to have to watch that ever again.
Amen.
They had a 6-run lead going into the bottom of the ninth, and they gave up 7 runs and lost in a walk-off.
All with 2 outs.
I gotta gather myself for a second. About to get angry right now.
If they're gonna continue to lose games like that, I think we're going to need to get DJ and Christian heart surgery.
I was out at grounds crew for the softball games, and we saw they were up 9-3, like, oh, they're going to win. And we put everything away, and we check. We're like, all right, let's check our phones, see if the Mariners won. Sure enough, I check it, and I'm like, oh, that must be a typo or something.
Right.
Like, I was in disbelief that they gave up 7 runs, especially with 2 outs and Diaz was pitching.
So let's talk about what went wrong over that long, long road trip. DJ, what did you see that went wrong?
Well, the main overlying theme was they couldn't hit with runners in scoring position, and especially the trifecta of Cano, Cruz, and Seager, they weren't doing very well. Right now, the M's are averaging just over 3 runs, and last year they were averaging about 4, just over 4 runs. So they definitely got to improve on that. It's tough when your first 10 games are against division opponents too, and you get off to a bad start because that just kind of puts you behind the eight ball for the rest of the season. Their first seven of their first 10 games are against specifically the Astros, and the Astros are they're a solid squad. They are currently 2-3 against the Astros right now, so they'll look to continue that success tonight at 7-10. But yeah, hitters, runners in scoring position, they got to perform when it comes to that.
I'd agree with that. Lacey, what did you see that was just not right with the Mariners?
Well, I like DJ's term, the trifecta, in Cano, Seager, and Cruz. Let me just rattle off some stats for you. For the first eight games, Robinson Cano is batting .258, and his average for the entire 2016 season was .298, so significantly better there, just not getting off to a good start. And for Cruz and Seager, they're also struggling on the offensive end, both hitting below .200. Seager's at .192. He was at .278 last season, and Cruz has a batting average of .172, where he was hitting .287 last season. So I know it's early, only eight, maybe nine games in from last night's game now, but still not a good way to start.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, at the beginning of the season is normally a time where you see, you know, batting average ballooned up in the 400s, mm-hmm. and that doesn't make any sense. Well, he hasn't had very many chances. So to see such low numbers out of the guys who have to be great for this team to be great is kind of frustrating right now. Drew, what did you see that went wrong?
As a lifelong Giants fan, the Mariners got struck by something that the Giants have been struck by year after year after year, and that was just terrible, terrible bullpen. Just a terrible play from the bullpen. Edwin Diaz got lit up like a Roman candle. You've got to be able to protect that lead. That's a lot of runs. Like a six-run lead. As a closer and as a middle relief guy, anyone coming out of the bullpen, you're happy with a 2-3 run lead. Double and triple that, you got to be able to protect that lead. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, that's inexcusable at that point. And the bullpen better shape up. Although it's going to be a long season because you can't get very far without a decent bullpen. I mean, the Giants have before, but then they suffered from arm fatigue, and the Mariners have before, and they just get hurt. Yeah. Like, that's why the bullpen's been so thin lately for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. And you saw Paxton going 7 definitely helped them yesterday, kind of give them a break because they've been working, I guess, a lot these past 7 games.
I'm of the mindset that your starting pitching has to be good in order for your bullpen to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, DJ, you would rather convert a 3rd and 4 than a 3rd and 9.
Yep.
Right. So to bring in relievers in the 5th and 6th and 7th, like the fifth inning, if you're bringing relievers in, then like it's going to be rough for not only that game but the next game after when they have to then pitch the next day and the next day and the next day. So it has a ripple effect. The one walk-off loss to the Astros.
That was a tough deal.
It was Chase DeJong who was there filling in for someone on paternity leave.
Dylan Overton.
So he's a fringe guy that maybe, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. Mm-hmm. They had used everyone up. They had Chase DeJong left, and that's what happened.
And they had the bases loaded with no outs in, I think it was the top of the 13th, bases loaded, no outs. And we walked a run in. We didn't get anything off of a hit.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. And then, like you said, Edwin Diaz couldn't locate a slider on Sunday. And even if he is throwing 100, you can key in on a fastball and knock it all over the park. Yep. And that's what
the harder he throws, the further it goes.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, these are professional baseball players. They just take your power and use it against you. You throw the ball over 100, it's going to go a long way.
They see high 90s every day.
Yeah. So has there been anyone that has done well in those first 7 games on that road trip? Was anyone off to a solid start?
You want to start, Deej? Okay. No, I'll start. Mitch Haniger. Showcased a little bit of power, something that we saw a little bit from him in the minor leagues. Across the minor leagues last year, he had a 1.098 OPS, which is a sabermetrics, stat. It's combined with is just power hitting and getting on base. Yep. That's how that is scheduled. So looking at this, he's kind of like the trust the process guy that has worked his way through the minor leagues and is now here in hitting the snot out of the ball. We'll see how he continues to do against major league pitching. because coming from the minor leagues, new kid on the block, they don't have a lot of film on you yet, don't know really how to pitch you. So they made him a couple mistakes, and he took advantage, which makes him a good hitter. Yep. We're going to see if he's going to continue to hit like this and maybe be a great hitter for the M's this year in an outfield that it hasn't hit the ball extremely well of late.
That's exactly right. At some point, the league is going to catch up to him, but to start the season, he's hit 3 home runs already. So solid first week for Mitch Haniger. Lacey, who stuck out to you?
The new shortstop for the Mariners, Gene Segura, has had the hottest bat thus far. He's batting .313 and can hopefully provide some consistency for the lineup down the road. Unfortunately, last night he left the home opener with a hamstring strain, but that shouldn't be too much of a setback. So I'm looking forward to seeing how well he does later down the road.
DJ, you got a guy you like to watch?
Yes, and he hasn't done good of late, but mark my words right now, he's going to go on a hot streak after he went 3-for-4 yesterday. He knocked in 2 runs, and I think it's just going to be the start, like I said, to a great run for Cruz here, especially for this homestand. I think it's really important that if we want to do good, he's got to get going because he is that cleanup batter, and he's got to knock those runs in. Him with the combination of him and Cano, I think it could be really deadly to leapfrog them. Going forward.
Yeah, that's fair. So let's talk about yesterday's home opener for the Mariners. They look like a different team. I think the mindset was that they were going to start over, as if the road trip, the 1-6 road trip, didn't happen. Even the pregame broadcast felt like that whole first week was non-existent. The M's went out and they beat the Astros 6-0. So who was a contributor? What'd you see, Lace?
Oh, I'll start. I think James Paxton was a huge reason why the M's were able to win by such a huge margin yesterday. 6-0, pretty decent win, solid win for them. He pitched 7 innings of shutout ball. He hasn't allowed a run yet this season in 13 total innings. And he could really be... he could really break through for the Mariners this year, I think.
That's fair.
We call that performance a gem in baseball. That's what we call it. We call that throwing a gem.
Yeah.
Been waiting on James Paxton for the last 4 years. It feels like
he's the only
just another line from a depressed.
He's the
Mariners
only
fan.
Mariner starter in franchise history to, pitch 2 scoreless starts in his first 2 starts besides Felix Hernandez.
There's only been two guys: Felix Hernandez and James Paxton.
Yep.
James Paxton. He won my Twitter poll of Mariner I'm supposed to hate this year, but if he keeps doing this, it's going to be so hard for me to do it.
Wow. I think he's going to be the Mariner with the best breakout season.
I think that's the reason why I think a lot of people picked him, because it's been 4 years of waiting for James Paxton to be healthy and then waiting for him to be decent, and now he's finally figured out. He's changed his arm slot. It went from way over the top to a little bit more
3/4.
Lower at a 3/4 angle, and now he's found extra velocity, and all of a sudden he's untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
So far. Yep. I mean, there's going to be a couple rough starts, but if you can do this all year long, then that'll be huge for the Mariners.
Yeah.
DJ, who was solid yesterday? I think you already talked about him a little bit.
Well, yeah, but I'm just going to say, like, all around, like, defensively, pitching-wise, and then hitting. I think it was the 4th inning. We had the bases loaded, no outs, didn't score, and so there were some people that started booing, and I think that was a real wake-up call to the Mariners, like, hey, we better get our stuff together, because otherwise people are going to start booing us and our fans realize that we're not doing well. And we saw after that they kind of came through and they had an offensive explosion in the last 5 innings, scoring 6 runs.
Yeah.
But I think all around it was just a very positive game and something to look forward to. Like I said, with when I was talking about Cruz, like just this homestand, like if we can have a good homestand here, we have 3 games coming up against Texas and 3 against Miami in some interleague play. But if we can like maybe get 2 or 3 from Texas, that would be really key in our division.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Drew, do you have anyone that stood out
yesterday?
Yeah,
the bottom half of the order, Martin, Zuno, Dyson, all had hits, all crossed the plate. I mean, if the Mariners continue to get that kind of production from the bottom half of their order, they'll be in good shape, because you know at the end of the day, Haniger, Cano, Cruz, Seager, I mean, I know Seager's been a little bit down last year, but he's all reliable at the end of the day. And you know you're going to get some production from them, but if they can get some hits and runs from that bottom half of their order, they're going to continue to be successful.
Yep.
Good stuff. So we're off and running with the Mariners here.
Yeah.
They're off and underway. Running to a 2-6 start.
It's early. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, Lacey, last week was D3 week, and Lacey has done some stuff for us to tell you more about Division III athletes and what they do on and around their campus as well as on the athletic field. So it should be a fun little segment. Don't go anywhere. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 athletes on Lute Air Student Radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 athletes on Lute Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's half athlete, joined by Lacey Nicholson, a member of the PLU women's basketball team. Tight end for the football team is DJ Winter, and Rounding out the starting 3.5, a member of the PLU men's basketball team, in Drew Artisoni. If you want to call in the show and talk to us, we'll talk to you. You just got to call us. Number to do is 253-535-7332. Once again, it's 253-535-7332. All right, so last week was D3 week, a week where the NCAA celebrates the Division III athletes and their accomplishments on the field and off. So earlier this week, Lacey Nicholson recorded some stuff about that. We're going to listen to it right now.
This is Lacey Nicholson, and you are listening to Did You Know? Facts about PLU and Division III Athletics. Did you know, last week, on Thursday, April 6th, PLU had its annual NCAA D3 brunch in honor of D3 week. 19 athletes, one from each sports team, were chosen to attend the event. With the invitation, the athletes were encouraged to invite a faculty member who is not a part of the athletic department. The purpose of the hour-long brunch is for athletes to interact with faculty on a personal level, as well as to inform the faculty about what it means to be a Division III athlete. I would like to share some of the facts about Division III athletics, and more specifically, PLU athletics. Did you know there are over 450 D3 institutions across the United States with over 187,000 student athletes? D3 is the largest NCAA division in both number of student-athletes and number of schools. Student-athletes receive the same opportunities for financial aid as the general student body, but are not awarded aid based on athletic ability. Did you know that more than 80% of Division III student-athletes have earned merit scholarships for their academic accomplishments? Moving on to PLU student-athlete facts. Did you know 1 in 6 students at PLU participate in athletics? PLU student athletes make up 30% of the first year class. 73% of student athletes have a GPA of a 3.0 or better. Did you know that year-round recruiting generates over 1,000 student visits to campus each year? Last year, the student athletes served nearly 3,900 hours through community outreach. Did you know PLU holds 238 Northwest Conference championships and 11 national titles? The Division III student athletes at PLU and across the United States do incredible work in the classroom, in their communities, and on the playing field. Now you know more about Division III athletics. I'm Lacey Nicholson. Thanks for listening. Did you guys know all that? Did you know?
Well done. That was well done, Lacey.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I learned something there.
Yeah.
Anything that surprised you?
I think the thing that surprised me was the 11 national championships that PLU has won. 4 of those from football. Just throwing that out there.
How many? Do you know how many football has?
Four.
It's over four. A third.
Nice. But I knew. It's just amazing to me.
Excuse me. I apologize. Bad math.
It's just amazing to me that there's, like, Division III is the biggest, like, you said division, I guess, as you could put it.
Yeah, D3 is bigger than D1, Division I and Division II separately, not combined.
Yeah. Well, there's only 359 Division I schools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was, I said,
and for football, there's even less.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's way less. There's schools that compete at the Division I level for some things and not others.
Yeah, if you look at the demographics though for Division III, like the athletics on the east side of the United States, there's a plethora of them.
Yeah,
and if you look at the west side, we're kind of isolated over here.
That's
why we get messed over in seeding.
Yep,
for
exactly.
Everything. Exactly. Because there's this really cool thing in D3 called East Coast Bias.
That's not only in Division 3.
85 to 90% of the schools lie west. I mean, yeah, lie east of the Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And the other 10 to 15% lie over here towards us. Yeah.
Yeah.
In California and Washington.
In Oregon. That's it.
I mean, Texas is the next closest.
Still Midwest.
They had a nice little graphic at the banquet that I went to, and honestly, I knew somewhat of it. Like, I knew the Northwest Conference was the only one over in Washington and Oregon. But when I was looking at that graphic, the east side is freaking lit up like a Christmas tree. They had they had red dots for all the universities over there. And I was like, oh, my goodness.
And then once you get to the Midwest, it had more gaps in its coverage than Sprint.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Well, that's because of the... We're out here on the West Coast being a Division III school. That's what happens when football makes the postseason for whatever reason. They're not supposed to play someone from your conference, but because there's no one over here, football ends up having to play Linfield or Willamette or whoever.
Which is a flaw in the system, in my opinion, because it's just, if you put us up, like two teams from the Northwest Conference, up against some of the schools from the Midwest or back east, like some of those conferences, we're going to beat them.
Yeah.
And it sucks because we don't get as much representation going forward into the, even for other sports too.
Yeah, women's basketball. I think Whitman and UPS had to play each other in the first round of the tournament.
Yeah, it's a flaw in the system, and we don't give
to the best teams.
Yeah. We talk about equal representation. That's a big term thrown out today in today's world.
Yes.
And we don't get that in Division III athletics right now, so
it's cheaper for the NCAA to do.
Yeah. I mean, think about it.
It's the whole reason.
Oh yeah, because
cheaper,
you know,
but not a better experience.
They don't have enough money making billions of dollars off March Madness as a nonprofit and tax exempt. They don't make enough money.
Yeah.
My question. See, here's my thing about it though. Is like you take basketball season, not from this year, but the year before. You know, we go 17-10, beat Whitman, who's the number two team in the country, twice at their place, and play Whitworth, who was like number five in the country, to within a point at their place.
Yep.
And we go 17-10 and we can't get an at-large bid, and we beat three teams in Vegas that all made the tournament and couldn't get an at-large bid.
Sad.
Okay. Like, yeah. I mean, what more could you want us to do? Yeah, we shouldn't have dropped those two to George Fox and Linfield in conference.
Yeah.
But we still beat five of the teams that you put in the tournament.
Yeah.
That was our kind of argument for it, and that was the argument the committee gave us. But, you know, there's that East Coast bias. There's a lot more schools out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful to be at a D3 place because I've gotten to write 4-3 to 4-5 to 6-7 to 8 different teams on campus.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely positives and negatives.
And for the most part, all of the athletes are kind enough to me that when I go ask for a quote, they give it to me. I haven't been shut down by anyone yet.
Well, because you know most of them.
You know most of us.
I do know most of them.
You've only interviewed me once.
Score more touchdowns, I'll interview you.
And then there's guys like, see, then there's coaches. Well, there's coaches like Coach Dickerson who really make you, that was so brutal. Dang. And there's coaches like Coach Dickerson who I know you love, Christian. It's going to be very sad for you to cover a team for a year without Coach Dickerson. But he makes it, you know, he makes a point to point out to us like the work you do for us and the stuff like that. So we understand. Mm-hmm. And that's why whenever you ask Dylan, Brandon, Jared, Kyle, myself, any of us, we are right there for you to give you a quote because, you know, we understand your job.
Christian, it's tough to score touchdowns sometimes when you're only getting 15 targets total on the season.
Throw me to Bob.
Glorified tackle.
He's a tight end. Throwing that out there.
He's a tight end, not a wide receiver. They'll make more use of him in the red zone. Hey, this year.
I split out a lot on Friday.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Good for you. You're in spring ball right now, aren't you?
Yeah. Second practice of the spring.
You split out a lot at spring at sevens. You'll split out a lot.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And I'll split out next season, too.
You will?
That's the plan.
That's the plan, Stan?
Yep.
The real question is, and I can't wait to listen to you and Christian talk about this next year when me and Lacey are gone, but the real question is, who's going to be playing quarterback at that point?
I don't know.
That's
to be determined. Anyone else have anything to add about Division III athletics and how cool or not cool they are?
It's really cool. There's just a couple drawbacks about Division III athletics in terms of like funding and how the athletic departments are set up and, you know, just the available facilities and the fact that, you know, since academics are first, athletes don't get like priority scheduling and things like that. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of at the mercy of the system in terms of practice time and the ability to be able to like have that time with your team. So those are the kind of the drawbacks. But then again, that's what's special about being a Division III athlete is that academics are just as important as athletics here. Yeah. You know, you don't have scandals like North Carolina and their paper classes because athletics are the only things that matter. So I think that's one of the really good things about D3 sports.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity for all of us, even the half athletes. All right, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the happenings of the last week in the sports world. I guess there was a big golf tournament. I think it's called the Masters or something like that. We'll talk about the Masters. Chris Peterson got a raise with UW. We'll talk a little bit about that.
Well-deserved raise.
Don't go anywhere. This is Mast Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Welcome back to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I'm POU's half athlete, joined by a member of the POU women's basketball team and Lacey Nicholson. The tight end for the POU football team is DJ Winter.
Mm-hmm.
And rounding out our starting 3.5 is a member of the POU men's basketball team. His name is Drew Artisoni. If you want to call us and talk to us about anything, really anything, we'll take whatever you want to talk about, all right? 253-535-7332.
Even for advice, we'd love to hear from you.
We take advice, we take everything, you know? 253-535-7332. Check us out on YouTube, Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. You can see clips from the show there. Listen to them back, comment. We can argue about some things.
Bring it back.
And if you want to see a full podcast version of this show, do it at mastmedia.pou.edu underneath sports podcasts. Okay. Let's talk about a little bit of golf. Lacey, you want to talk?
Can I do it?
No.
Hello, friends. It's a tradition unlike any other. The Masters.
Oh,
jeez. The Nance intro.
You cannot introduce this because I put together a fantastic intro for the Masters.
Do you guys want to whisper the whole thing?
Let's whisper the whole
Hello,
thing.
Hello, friends.
Setting up in the tee box is Lacey Nicholson.
I don't have a whispering voice.
It's all right, Lacey.
Literally ask anyone I try to whisper during class. I can't whisper.
Yeah. It's not worth it. Lacey.
Do you guys remember 1 year ago when you guys asked me to come in here for 3.5 athletes and do Lacey's Losers?
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember when I talked about Jordan Spieth?
Choking it. falling apart at the seams.
Yep. So this is how I remember the Masters, because that was one of the highlights of my year last year was when you guys asked me to come in here. But
Lacey's been much more positive since then. We changed her segment.
Yeah, no more Lacey's Losers.
We tried.
We tried to get her to be mean for like one day. It didn't work out.
Well, the Masters is back, and DJ's going to give us a quick rundown of what really went on.
Alrighty. Thank you, Lacey. I thought it was a kind of a disappointing Masters, in my
Thank
opinion.
Thank you.
It was just missing, like, the big names. I mean, Sergio Garcia, he's an average name. Justin Rose, you know, he's known.
They're good golfers.
Yeah.
They're not great. They're good.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't have golfers like Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, because Jason Day's kind of been dealing with issues with his mom. We feel for him. And then Dustin Johnson, who fell down a flight of stairs.
I love Dustin Johnson. I love that, man. That dude's got so many problems, and his golf game ain't one.
Mm-hmm. He fell down a flight of stairs, which took him out. But Sunday was kind of a two-man race between Sergio Garcia and Justin Rose. Sergio started out by birdieing two of the three first holes to kind of put himself into the lead. And he would play bogey-free golf the rest of the front nine. But Justin Rose made a comeback by birdieing 6, 7, and 8, which brought him into a tie for the lead with Garcia. And people thought that Garcia was going to lose it after he hit a drive into the woods on 13, which is a feeling I'm sure all of us can relate with.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Pretty much, yeah. We've all gone OB or very close to it quite a few times.
But he was able to save par. And they were kind of neck and neck up until the 18th. They were tied. Still tied. They both missed a putt.
Hold on. Sergio's putt missed barely.
But it did miss.
It did miss.
And so that's set him up into a playoff hole. And off the tee, Justin Rose went into the woods. And that's where things kind of went downhill for him. And Sergio just kind of – he took advantage of that. And ended up sinking a birdie putt for the win. This was Sergio's first major win ever. Mm-hmm. I think he's up there in the 80s with like how many majors he's been in, and he finally got over that hump.
74 majors.
Yes. So, like I said, it was his first win. But hopefully, they're saying now that he's won. He's gonna win like at least maybe like they're saying three or four more.
I beg to differ, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's not my opinion. That's opinions of like the analysts and experts.
You got to remember, this is the guy that when Tiger was like 22 years old, just breaking into a prime, Sergio Garcia was supposed to be the challenger.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And just for the record, if Tiger Woods was in this Augusta at his prime, he would have won by 7 strokes, and we wouldn't even have turned on the TV Sunday because it would have been Tiger's show.
I would have turned on TV because it's just fun. It's fun watching Tiger play. No matter if he's winning or losing, even if he's like this, it's the second round and he's going to be out, it's still fun to watch it just because of what he's done.
Television ratings were down 23%.
Dang.
This year?
From last year. Wow. I think that is because there was no Dustin Johnson, mm-hmm. and he's the most interesting guy in golf.
Mm-hmm.
Cocaine, good looking wife, has problems on and off the floor.
I still got to say it's Spieth because he's so young, mm-hmm. and he's very relatable to us.
To me, that's so backwards. Like, if different guys are at the front of the field with a chance to win, why aren't you watching? Somebody new. It's not a big name. Like, why are big names needed for TV ratings to be there?
Because it's the same reason why ratings go down on every NBA game LeBron James rests. So every game, the number one, every major, the number one golfer in the world is not out there. The ratings are going to go down. Dustin Johnson's number one golfer in the world. He's also the most interesting. He's got problems. He's got a supermodel wife. He's got everything that gets you going.
Yeah. But in golf, it's like, it's a 4-day tournament that if I want to invest my weekend into, I can. And mm-hmm. if there are more people to follow, that makes it more exciting and more interesting to me.
I feel like it's exciting when the big names are up front and there's like one or two challengers, but the big names end up pulling it out.
The most exciting time in golf ever, Christian, was when Tiger Woods was in his prime and he was 2 to 3 strokes behind going into Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most exciting point in golf. And that's when all these major companies, Nike, Dick's, Sports Authority, all these guys were opening up their golf departments. Now there's no more Tiger Woods. There's no more really interesting guy. Justin Johnson's becoming that guy, so now they're all closing their doors.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. To say it was disappointing because there's no names, that doesn't work for me because both guys had a chance. It went into playoff hole.
Yeah.
Both guys missed a chance to win it at the same time on the same hole. That falls as exciting as it gets in my book.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. That's just my take on that.
I mean, even though the TV ratings were down, there were still people tuning in who agree with you that thought it was still interesting and fun to watch.
Yeah.
I'm just saying for like me personally.
Yeah, no, it's different ways to think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, our stat guy at the baseball field during the POU game was streaming it the whole weekend.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
this or that, however you want to watch it.
Exactly.
You guys want to talk about this raise that Chris Peterson got?
This much-deserved raise?
Yeah.
What is the exact figure? I don't know what it is, but it's something over the next 4 years, right? Do we know?
I believe so.
Something ridiculous over the next 4 years.
Yeah. I just wanted to say it's a great move by the University of Washington. Chris Peterson is the man of the future. He is going to retire as a Husky because he will coach for years and years to come. And the Huskies will win one or two national championships before he's done.
Hot take.
Whoa.
Very hot take.
They are in the college football playoff next year without question.
Mm-hmm.
Without question.
USC and will be their challenger, but luckily we don't have them on the regular season schedule.
I don't know how you pulled that off, but that's very well done by whoever the athletic director is.
Yep. That's Jen Cohen.
That's well done. Good scheduling.
Stats. Yep.
Good scheduling.
Yep. Very, very.
All I know is tuition went up.
Yep.
Big time.
So all I know is
hope everyone at UW is supporting the football team because that's where your dollars went.
Yeah. Yeah, I know for sure they're not supporting the basketball team right now, but yeah. we'll save that till the end of the show.
You guys ready for one more quick break?
Let's do one more quick break and let's bring it back.
We are going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the UW basketball program, a little bit about the POU basketball program, and just some stuff. Okay, don't go anywhere. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Welcome to my block party. Glad you can make it.
The only triple doubles you get come with fries.
Last time you blocked someone, you were online.
I can do this all day. Your moves are just gay.
Using gay to mean dumb or stupid, not cool.
Not cool.
Not in my house, not anywhere.
It's not creative. It's offensive to gay people.
And you're better than that.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Ball, and I am PLU's half athlete, joined by Lacey Nicholson, a member of the POU women's basketball team, DJ Winter, a member of the POU football team,
number 87,
and Drew Artisoni, a member of the POU men's basketball team. If you want to call into the show and talk to us in these last 10 minutes we got here, you can do it at 253-535-7332.
Do it, peeps.
Once again, 253-535-7332. If you haven't already, subscribe to us on YouTube. It's Half Athlete Radio. Just how it is. So check us out there.
How it is.
If you want to listen to full podcast of the show, you can do it at mastmedia.pou.edu. All right. So, Drew, you had something you want to talk about this week?
I want to talk about basketball and just sport financials in general. Now, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about building equity. And that's a fancy stock phrase and a fancy company phrase that's used a lot. You want to build equity in a company. Well, I'm talking about building trust, building buy-in, building culture that a city, a state, a school, players can buy into.
And the fans can identify with.
And the fans can identify with. Yeah. So when I say I'm looking for a coach to build equity, that's what I am looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So rewind to last week. We were very, very, very hard on Coach Murray, the new men's basketball coach.
Who's your new neighbor, by the way?
He's my new neighbor, by the way. So we were very, very hard on Coach Murray. Why?
Because
he's the unknown. He hasn't built any equity here. We don't know anything about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I am looking forward to him building equity here with the players.
Yep.
Okay. Same reason why everyone in Seattle, Tacoma area, and around UW has been very, very, very hard on the new head coach for UW, Mike Hopkins, the Syracuse former head assistant.
And coach in waiting.
And coach in waiting there, who got the job at UW. And everyone's been very hard on him for the same reason we were very hard on Coach Murray.
Mm-hmm.
How is he going to recruit this area? He doesn't know anybody. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's never done this before here, yeah. Right? That's everyone's worry when you go to a new place. And so what I was looking for in both coaches were coaches to build equity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Coach Hopkins did something very, very, very smart. We play Seattle U every year. Seattle U's had the same coach for the last 8 years. His name is Cameron Dollar. Cameron Dollar got fired this year from Seattle U.
Yeah.
And guess who Coach Hopkins hired as his first assistant?
Cameron Dollar.
Cameron Dollar. who's been a coach at Seattle U for the last 8 years. Since then, he has delivered two UW recruits. Yeah. Guys from this area, standout guy from West Seattle. Now he's got two kids from this area, signed and committed already. He is building equity with the Seattle Tacoma fan base.
And not only did he hire Cameron Dollar, he hired Will Conroy too.
As well.
Yep.
And those are well-known names here. That is what is called building equity with a fan base. Right? These are recognized names up here, and these kids that he now has recruited are recognized names in the Seattle hoops area.
Uh-huh.
I think this is extremely important. Now looking towards PLU. Coach Murray arrived on campus yesterday, and I got to be introduced to him. I was in the gym working out, and he walked in, and we shook hands, said hello. Fast forward.
Good first impression.
Great first impression. Okay. Great first impression. Fast forward 4 hours later, I'm dealing with my housing issues in South, right? And I had to move apartments. As I'm moving apartments, Coach Murray's moving into the apartment next door to me. So we both finished
Small
moving.
World.
So we both finished moving in. He, of course, recognized me from earlier in the day. He came and knocked on my door, and me and him sat down and talked for about an hour. And he built some equity in a lot of it. And I think it's a great hire, listening to how the guy's talked and what he's talked about. So Brandon Lester came over a couple hours or so later, and we went and knocked on Coach's door. And we sat in his living room and talked to him for about another hour.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his whiteboard out, was showing us his philosophy, his binder, what he plans on doing, what his plans are. He's watched film. He knows the kids. He knows their strengths and weaknesses. He drove 28 hours from Iowa to here for the sole purpose that he could talk on the phone to the players and coaches up here and recruits the entire way. And he showed us the coolest thing I think ever. He has a green beat-up punch-in, punch-out time clock. And he's got a bunch of cards in it. And the cards have all of our guys' names on it. And every day when they come to practice, they punch in. Every day when they leave, they punch out.
Got a cool little deal.
He is bringing the blue collar. He's continuing that blue collar, old school approach that Coach Dickerson has and that has made this program beginning to become very successful. And he's trying to carry that on. And we listen to him talk basketball. We listen to him talk life. And he built some equity with Brandon and myself, and I look forward to him getting to meet with the team today. And I can't wait to hear what they say, because Brandon and I were very impressed. And so I don't know if you guys have any questions about our conversation, because he was very, very cool, very, very good dude.
See, like that gives me some reassurance. I know last week I was one of the people that criticized him and PLU for the hire.
Mm-hmm.
And just because there was a little bit of unknown, and there's always going to be with a new hire,
mm-hmm.
and that gives us every right to be skeptical, but that kind of, it reassures me a little bit that you think it's a good hire, that Lester thinks it's a good hire. It makes me, I guess, excited moving forward to next season, where I get to watch the product of his team. I love the blue collar mentality.
Yeah,
I think it's a great way to be successful. And hard work really does pay off. And so, yeah, I would say now, hearing that going forward, I am excited. And I guess I'll take it from Drew that it was a great hire for PLU.
And the coolest thing I think he said, too, is he says, I didn't bring any assistants with me because I know recruiting this area is hard, and I'm hiring assistants from up here. I'm pulling guys from up here. Which is really smart. He knows his deal, and he also said, I understand the situation you guys wanted to happen. It's the situation my kids at Cornell wanted to happen when I first got the job. They had a longtime assistant there who wanted to have the job. And you guys had the same thing, a friend, an assistant that you guys wanted to have the job. And it didn't happen. And he goes, and I understand that, and I'm aware of that. But I'm going to deliver you the plan. I'm going to deliver you the why. And I'm going to deliver you the process. And I hope that, I know I'm not going to get trust day one. I know I'm not going to be able to build that equity in a week or these 6 weeks before the end of the year, but I hope that I can lay some foundation now so when we come back, we get ready to execute the plan.
I think it's kind of comical if we rewind exactly 1 week from right now. There was a completely different mood in this room.
Well, I don't think it's comical. I just I just think we don't like the unknown. No one does.
No one does. No but one that's does. The point of getting to know someone. And the guy has a great background, a good resume, and I'm glad that you got to sit down with him and get to know him and kind of get to know him outside of basketball as well. I think that's important to know what he's like off the court and how he can relate to the players and be a good mentor for them, because ultimately at this level, that's kind of what it comes down to, is the coaches here can be mentors to their players and really help them grow as individuals on and off the playing field.
Which is really what it's all about at Division III.
And yep. that was the thing that, like, you know, really hit me and Brandon. It was, I think, the thing that hit me and Brandon the most was the way he talked about his 6-year-old daughter,
mm-hmm.
and like about being a dad. And he's like, you don't understand. Like, he was so funny. He's like, I asked my daughter before I left to come interview here for the plane, for when I went to fly here to come interview. I asked my daughter. He said, sweetie, do you want me to win the interview or lose the interview? And she looked at him and she goes, Dad, is it okay if I say I want you to lose the interview? She says, because I have 16 older brothers, right? She said, because I love your boys.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, here's the deal. If I win the interview, you're going to get 16 new big brothers. And I thought that was really awesome, just the way he explained it and like how his family situation set up. And it kind of hit home for me, because he didn't pull his daughter out of kindergarten. He flew here on his own to build equity with these 6 weeks. It was important to him to get out here, and his family's going to come later. So I found a lot of things that I just really liked about his attitude, his philosophy, his basketball knowledge. Christian, I know you're going to miss Coach Dickerson writing for him, but I really, really think you're going to like this guy. He will talk shop with whoever, whenever. You should have seen how excited he was. Busted out his whiteboard last night, was drawing things up for Brandon and I. You're going to like him a lot. He's going to be a really easy write.
Cool.
I promise.
So what is his offensive and defensive philosophy?
So his defensive philosophy, he is a big help side, one-up, one-over guy, flying to the ball, one-up, one-over, not forcing a lot of turnovers, just mm-hmm. playing really good solid defense and forcing you to take low percentage shots.
Mm-hmm.
In his offensive mentality, he says, I quote, I don't have one. I tailor my offense to my personnel. You have a great pick and roll team in terms of Tyson and Jared, and you have two great shooters in Marcus and Dylan, and you have Josh Barrett who cuts and slashes and stuff. So if I could look at it right now, there'd probably be a lot of high pick and roll being played. With a lot of high pick and roll, with a replace and a dive on the backside, is what he was drawing it up for us, and he was showing it was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really, really good meeting.
Nice,
well, in very casual setting too, which was cool.
Yeah.
South Hall.
South Hall.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah, that'll be exciting for mm-hmm. the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think he's built equity here with Brandon and I, and me and Brandon were very excited when we told the boys we got to meet with him. We're like, you guys are gonna like him a lot. It's going to go over very, very well. And then I think that Coach Hopkins is building a lot of equity too in the hire of Cameron Dollar and, you know, his other assistant hire and these two Seattle recruits coming. I mm-hmm. think that builds a lot of equity and a lot of trust with the fan base too, that, you know, maybe this is going to work out better than they thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
A lot of positive basketball to look forward to.
Yeah.
On both ends.
It's exciting.
You guys will have a lot of fun stuff to cover next year.
Will do.
Yeah.
All right, that about does it for Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes. We talked Mariners, we talked Division III week, we talked Masters, talked Chris Peterson, and then a little bit of coach talk at the end. So it's a great show. For Lacey Nicholson, DJ Winner, and Drew Artisoni, my name is Christian Bond. We're out of here. See you.